Today's blot is Daf Yud Ches. We will begin on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis at the Gemara. Yesterday we had learned in the Mishnah the halach of somebody who had lost a close relative and his ptur, his exemption from saying Krishma and other mitzvahs. Begins our Gemara, we're making an observation regarding what it says in our Mishnah. Mutalufanavin. The Mishnah said, Misha Mesa Mutalufanav. Somebody whose person, the dead body of his relative, is in front of him. Vishainim of Mutalufanav. He should not be saying Krishma. Vishainim Mutalufanav. However, if the Nifter is not laying right in front of him, Loi, he is not exempt. That's how we learn our Mishnah. Ask the Gemara for a mini. I'll ask you a question. It says in a brisa, Misha Mesa Mutalufanav, if someone has a relative who passed away in front of him, Oichel Beis Acher, he should eat in another house. He should not eat in the same house as the Nifter. Vimele Beis Acher, if he does not have another house to eat in, is the halacha, Oichel Beis Chaveri, he should eat in his friend's house. Vimele Beis Chaveri, there is no friend's house available to him. Oichel Mechitz V'Oichel. He should make a partition between him and the Nifter, and eat on the other side of the partition. Vimele Dova Lassus Mechitz, and if he has nothing to make a partition out of, Machs upon V'Oichel. He should turn around to the other side, and eat without facing the Nifter. Furthermore, he's not allowed to eat in a reclining position because, like we know from Pesach by night, eating in a reclining position symbolizes a higher madrega of freedom, of being like a king, a prince, and he isn't in that situation when he's now an avil. He may not eat meat. He should not drink wine. Nor does he say brachas before eating, nor does he say bracha rishona. Veinu mezamin, he doesn't have to, Rashi says pshat, he does not have to say brachas hamazoin. Now we go to that with ches amen aleph. Veinu mevarchim olav, nor do other people say brachas on his behalf. Veinu mezamin olav, since he is not obligated to say Birchas HaMazon, he cannot be part of the Zimun. When three people eat together, we know the halacha is that we say Zimun, but since this person is not obligated to say Birchas HaMazon, he shouldn't be part of the Zimun. Or part of the Krishma and the Tefillah, he's exempt from saying Shema from the Tefillah, or the Tefillah from putting on Tefillin, or Mekom Mitzvahs Amurus B'Torah, and all Mitzvahs that the Torah tells us to do. Or B'Shabbos, regarding on Shabbos, Mesiv, Shabbos, since Kavura cannot take place anyway, he could recline when eating. V'aychel basi, he's allowed to eat meat. V'shoyis yayin, he could drink wine. U'mevarach, and he should say the bracha rishona. U'mezamin, he does say birchas hamazoyim. U'mevarach and olav, other people could say brachas on his behalf. U'mezamin and olav, he is part of the zimun. V'chai v'chol mitzvahs amurus b'Torah, he's mechuyev in all mitzvahs that the Torah says. Shimon Gamliel, Omer, Shimon Gamliel says, "Metoich shensai b'chay elu." Since he's obligated in these mitzvahs, b'schay b'kulin, he's obligated in all mitzvahs. V'am Rav Yochanan. Now, what Rav Shimon ben Gamliel doesn't really seem to be saying anything more than the Tanakhama. He just makes a ruling, but that's difficult to say. It seems that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel is adding something. So Rabbi Yochanan wants to know, what's Rav Shimon ben Gamliel adding or saying different than the Tanakhama? Answers the Gemara, Tashma Shamita Ikka Benayu. The issue between Rav Shimon ben Gamliel and the Tanakhama is whether an Oinen on Shabbos should fulfill the mitzvah of having marital relations with his wife. The Tanakhama, although he considers him obligated in all mitzvahs on Shabbos, exempts him from this one. Whereas Shimon ben Gamliel holds that just like he's obligated in all mitzvahs, this mitzvah is no different. However, we come back to our original question, the reason we brought down the braisa. This braisa said to us, potter krishma min tefillah. He's potter from saying krishma, from tefillah, min tefillah, from putting on tefillah. We call mitzvahs amuris b'torah, and for all mitzvahs which the Torah tells us, which is in contradiction to our Mishnah. Because here, the Brisa said that he should be in a different room. And even though he's in a different room, he's still potter. Our Mishnah says, Meisoi Mutal Lufanov, Dafko in the mess is in front of him. So what, how do we reconcile this? Amra Papa, Tergema Machsapanov Oichel. The dinim that our Brisa just said, the exemption that our Brisa says, that he is potter from the mitzvahs, is only in the last case of the Brisa, when he was in the same room and he turned his round. But if he were in a different room, he would be mechuyev. Ravashi Amar, Ravashi says no. Kimin shemut alav lekavroi, since he is responsible to bury the body, kumut alafan of dami. He is like the one that's responsible to bury the body. Shenemar, as we find in the Torah. The Torah says regarding Sarah, when Sarah passed away. So it says, so Yochum Avram me'alpnei me'esoi. Avram went away from Sarah, the person, his deceased relative, and he went to speak to the Bnei Ches about finding a burial place for Sarah, for Nemar. And when Avram was talking to them, it says, "V'ekbar meisim ofanai, may I should bury my dead before me." But the dead is not in front of him. He left to go talk to them. Explaining the Gemara, from here we see that Kolzman Shemutalov Lekavroi, as long as he's responsible to bury the body, Kemutal in front of Dami, it has a din like it's fine in front of him. And that is the halacha, that, like what Ravashi says, that an oinon is exempt from all mitzvahs, even when the mace is not in front of him, since he has the responsibility to bury him. And as we spoke about yesterday, there was a further question of what about if the person feels he can have the kavana, especially if, as in our days, where the responsibility of bearing the mace is given to the Chevra Kedisha, may a person do mitzvahs? We follow Tosfos, who we discussed yesterday, and who said that an oinon is prohibited from performing mitzvahs. Now, there are some interesting shailas. Since he's exempt from all mitzvahs, what is going to be when the time of exemption ends, after the kvura, after the ninus ends? We know that if a person accidentally misses a tefillah, he has the opportunity to make up the missed tefillah at the next tefillah. That means, if a person didn't daven ma'ariv, he could say shachris Shmon Esrei twice. The first Shmon Esrei will be for Shachris, and the second one will be for Tashlum and for Ma'ariv. The question is, what's going to be the halacha if a mace missed the tefillah because he was an oinon? If an oinon missed the tefillah because of his mace, now it's after the kvura, does he have to make up that tefillah? So Rosh says that after the burial, he's not, and it's already the time for the next tefillah, he's not required to make up the tefillah. Because he says the concept of the making up the tefillah is tashlumen. Tashlumen means a makeup. A makeup is only shayach when he had the chiv in the first time, and now he missed the chiv, and now and for some reason he couldn't fulfill his chiv, so we give him an opportunity to make it up. An oinon, it's not a concept that he missed. An oinon is also to daven. He's forbidden to daven. So therefore, he has no obligation to compensate for the missed tefillah when he ends his state of aninus. The Dogma of Ava, who's another Yehuda, explains in the Rosh, that this din of the Rosh is only applicable if somebody was an oinon during the entire night, from the time when the Zman of Tefillas Me'ariv began until the morning. But let's say somebody lost a relative a half an hour after the Zman Me'ariv. So he could have davened Me'ariv, and he hadn't davened Me'ariv yet. So let's think about it. he could have davened Ma'ariv. Not only could have davened Ma'ariv, he was mechuyev to daven Ma'ariv before the Ptira. He didn't. So since he had a chiyev, and then he couldn't fulfill that chiyev because he became an oinen, so here the Dogma of Rava says, the Rosh will agree that the next morning he should daven, if it's after the kfur and still in the time when you could daven shachris, he should say Shemoneh Esrei twice, because he has a chiyev to be mashal Ma'ariv. Another shaila is regarding Havdalah. What happens if the mace died before Shabbos is out? So when Matzah Shabbos came, the Oinon could not make Havdalah nor hear Havdalah because he was an Oinon. And now it's after the Kfur on Sunday. Could he make Havdalah? Because we know that Allah is that one can make Havdalah Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday if he missed it on Matzah Shabbos. The Maram Rattenberg interestingly says there's a difference between an Oinon who missed Tefillah and one misses Havdalah. He says the Oinon who misses Tefillah, like we explained before according to the Rosh, he wasn't mechuyev to daven in that time. Havdalah, he says, although the preferred time to say Havdalah is on Motzei Shabbos, Chazal gave us 3 days for Havdalah. They extended the time of Havdalah through Tuesday afternoon. Therefore, when one is saying Havdalah on Sunday or Monday, it's not Tashlumin. Rather, Sunday is considered the L'chatchilga time of saying the Havdalah. And therefore he says that he should make Havdalah. The Nesivus talks about a different case. He talks about the case of an Oinim who ate a meal right before the Kvura, with Tira, and he's still full from the meal after the Kvura. Now, although he was exempt from saying Berchus HaMazon when he finished the meal, the Nesiva says he's still mechuyev to say Berchus HaMazon. Why is he mechuyev to say Berchus HaMazon? He says that it's like Havdalah. He says the chiyev of Berchus HaMazon is there as long as he's satisfied. So now it's after the Kfura, and he's still satisfied, so he has a chiyev now to say Berchus HaMazon, and she say the Berchus HaMazon. Darach HaShulchan and the Chazanish disagree, and they hold that the chiyev Berchus HaMazon is dependent on when the meal is eaten. And since the meal in this case was eaten at a time that he was exempt from Berchus HaMazon, he remains exempt even afterwards. The Gemara continues in understanding our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, the Meisoi Mutal Lefonav, that the Meis is in front of him. So what is the implication? Meisoi in, Dafka if he's an Oinon, and it's his relative that he's watching. Avum, that he's an Oinon. Avum is Shamroi, if he's only a Shomer, if he's only watching a Nifter, the halach is that a person, a dead body requires Shmira. The main reason, as we will learn, is because of mice. The mice should not, chas v'shalom, attack the body. Avum is Shamroi, but that person is not exempt from the chiyuv of Krishma. Of Krishma. For Tanya, ask the Gemara, we learned in the Braisa, Hamashamas Ames, if somebody is watching a mace, Apishain Amesoi, even though the dead person is not his relative, Potomac Krishma Menat Tefillah, he's part from Krishma and Tefillah, or Menat Tefillah from Tefillah, or Makom Mitzvah Amurus Batara from all Mitzvahs that the Torah obligates us. Answers the Gemara. Mishamroi, the Mishnah and the Braisa are not arguing, the Mishnah and the Braisa are complimenting each other. And Pshat Sazoi. Mishamroi, if the person is watching a nifter, even though it's not his relative, he's still obligated to, he's exempt from Krishma. Meisai, and if it's a relative, even though he's not watching him, but since it's one of the close relatives, he's mechuyev, he's also exempt from Krishma. From here we see, the Ma'ayin HaBracha points out that even though watching a mess is only a mitzvah midrabanan, still it has the power, the mitzvah midrabanan has the power to exempt somebody from a mitzvah deraisa. Continues the Gemara with a different question. Meisai, somebody who's a close relative, umishamroi, or somebody who's watching a mess, in. They are exempt from saying Krishma. Am halach beis hakfaros. If somebody is just walking in a cemetery, loy, he's not exempt. Ask the Gemara of time we learned in a brisa, loy halach adam beis hakfaros. A person should not walk in a cemetery, but tefillin beroishoy, with tefillin on his head, and a sevatar bezroya, and a sevatar in his arms, the kairi, and reading it from Isaacane, and if he does do so, Oiver Mishum, he's Oiver the Avera, not Avera, but he's Oiver Loig Larash, somebody who mocks a pauper, Charfasim, he is as if he's cursing the one that made him. Here too, the mace, unfortunately, can no longer do mitzvahs, and by you doing a mitzvah in front of him, you're offending him. So here we see that has nothing to do with watching or being a relative. Answers the Gemara. Hosom toich arba amos for the osur. In the case of walking in a cemetery, only if somebody is within a dalet amos, that's when he's pater from krishma. Chutz l'arba amos, if he's outside of the arba amos, he's chayif. Damamar, as we learned, mace toifas arba amos for krishma. The mace seizes an area of 4 amos around him for krishma. Hacha chutzla arba amos, mashen ken a shomer or a relative, even if the mace is not within his dalet amos, nami potter, he's still potter from, he's still exempt from krishma. And we learned when we spoke about this gemara earlier that the din is not only dalet amos. We paskin if it's in the same room. If he's in the same room as the mace, he also has the same din. Gufa. So the Gemara talks about this din of being Mishamas Ames. Hamishamas Ames, somebody is guarding a mace. Abishan a mace, even though it's not his relative. Potam and Krishma and Tfila, he's exempt from Krishma from Tfila, and Tfila from wearing Tfilin. Umikomitsu Samuris Patira. And from all mitzvahs that the Torah obligates us. Hayushnaim, if you have 2 people guarding the Nifter, Zem Misham Vizakira, one should be Mishamer, one should watch and the other one should read. Vizem Misham Vizakira, and then they should take turns and the other one should watch and read. Nazamai, Hoy Bon Bisfina, if they were on a boat, Menichai Bizavazu, they leave the body in one corner, Umispam Shem Bizavisakaris. And both of them could go at the same time to another corner. Because when Azay holds that a corpse in a boat does not really need shmirah. So, truthfully, the Tzlach says, Ben Azay would agree that a person guarding a mess on a boat, even if he's by himself, can leave the nifter and go away. He says his ruling in regards to 2 people to show that even though they're 2 people, and theoretically the 2 people could take turns if they want to, he says they don't have to bother. My benai, what is the nafkamina between the Tanakam and Benazai? Amarvina, choshin lachbarim if benayu. Do we have to worry about mice in a boat? Masav chashinin, Tanakam holds that even on a boat, we have to worry about mice. Or Masav Benazai holds, loy chashinin, we don't have to be worried about mice in a boat. It's interesting, Ramosha Feinstein uses this Gemara to talk about somebody who's a mishamer as a mace nowadays, where the mesim today are kept in coffins and many times are kept in refrigeration. What is the halach about the shomer? Does he have to sit there all the time and be put for krishma? And Ramosha says that nowadays a shomer, every mace should still have a shomer. Nowadays, of course, Ramosha says, but the shomer does not have to stand right next to the mace the entire time. It is adequate, he says, if they are yoitz of a nichnas and come in and out, and therefore he may go out to the room to say krishma. It's interesting, the Gemara says that you should not walk in a cemetery with a Sefer Torah. We know that sometimes in a cemetery, people say hispedim on eulogies for mess, even though they're saying divrei Torah, or they say tehillim or other psukim, oh, it's also Torah. And we're saying now, because of loyach l'rash, you shouldn't do that. So the Chidah says that since the Torah that's being said, or the Tehillim, or other Tefillos that are being said, are in honor of the mace, there is no problem of Loig L'Rash. The Netziv, interestingly, says that since nowadays we generally bury mace lower than 10 tefachim. So that's already considered a different area from where we're standing above the 10 tefachim, and that's why we're allowed to say the Vetaira or Psukim in front of the mess. Interesting to note, what is the halacha by a woman regarding tefillin? It'll go in tzitzis, that she, or tefillin, that she didn't wear tzitzis or tefillin in a lifetime, or a child that died that was a mechuyev and mitzvahs. Most poskim hold that the concept of loig l'rash still applies. Continues the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan. Hamalach hatzomus v'makom l'makom. If somebody is transporting human bones from one place to another place, he should not put them in a sack, put them in a donkey, and then ride on top of the bones, because that's considered treating the mess disrespectfully. However, if he's concerned about goyim, if they list him or robbers, then it's permitted no matter how he sits. The same thing that was said regarding bones, kach amru b'sefer Torah, the same thing was said as a sefer Torah. Ask the Gemara Hai, regarding which case in the Braisa is the Braisa equating the treatment of a sefer Torah to human bones? Ilema firesha, if you tell me regarding the first case, the one should not ride the top of the bones, pshit, it's obvious that the same applies to sefer Torah. Migar sefer Torah matzamos, is a sefer Torah treated any worse than human bones? Ella a sefer, it's talking about a sefer. That means that when it's a situation of danger, in the presence of danger, somebody can ride on top of the sefer Torah, just like he's allowed to ride on top of the bones. It's very interesting to note, the Chalkus Yaakov discusses in this Tshuvas, nowadays most Sefer Torah are written in Israel, and what happens if somebody bought a Sefer Torah and it's being sent to America, may send it in by mail, and he says that it's certainly preferable not to send the Sefer Torah by mail, it's much more preferable it should be sent in a more respectful way. When it's sent in the mail, it could be thrown around, etc. From here we have the halacha, the one who goes to the cemetery should make sure that his tzitzis are not sticking out. He should stick his tzitzis into his pants because of loig l'rash. The Beis Yosef makes the comment that there were people who apparently just tied two tzitzis together, and he says that that is certainly not adequate. Continues the Gemara. Amr Chava, Amr Yehuda. Kol haroya meis v'enim alaveyu. Whoever sees a mace and doesn't escort him, oiv mishum loig l'rash, chayef aseyu. From Hilva, and if he does escort him, mas choroy, aravasi olav akosav oimer. Malva Hashem chanindal. Whoever is gracious to the poor, as if he lends to Hashem, or b'chabdai, and he honors him, whoever is gracious to poor people is being mechaber Hashem. Here too, by doing this, he's being gracious. Rav Chiya and Rav Yonasan have a kashak about the Beis HaKfaros. Rav Chiya and Rav Yonasan were walking in the Beis HaKfaros. Have a kusadi tachlis to the Rav Yonasan. The Rav Yonasan's tzitzis were dragging over the graves. Omle Rav Chiya, Rav Chiya told them, Dalye, lift up your garment. Kadesh la yomer, they shouldn't say, L'mocha. But so tomorrow these people are coming to us. V'achshem mechafren son of Nare Makos. Amalei umiyadei kulahai. Do they know so much about what's going on? Do the mesim know who's coming? V'ksiv mesim eni yodimuma. The mesim do not know. It's a pasuk in Kehelet. Do not know what's going on. Amalei im karisa. If you read this pasuk once, Lashanisi didn't review it a second time to understand it. From Shanisa, and even if you learned it the second time, Lashalashta, you didn't learn it a third time to understand it properly. From Shalashta, and even if you learned it a third time, like Pirshalach, you did not understand it properly. Kechayim Yoidim Shemesu, the living know they will die. Eil Tzadikim Shemesasim Nekroim Chayim. This refers to the tzaddikim who even after they die are considered living. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Uvenyayah ben Yayada ben Ishchai. Benyayah ben Yayada, the son of a living man. Rap Olim, he did many achievements. Mekapsiel, he is from Kapsiel. Huake Shnei Eriel Moev, he struck down two commanders of Moev. Vuyard Vihike Esari, and he went and slew the lion. Besoy Chaber, in a pit. Beyoim Hashalig, on a snowy day. Ben Ishchai, so the pasuk calls him The pasuk calls Ben Yo Ben Ishchai is the question, the son of a living person. So we have the obvious question. Is everybody else in the world the sons of a dead person that he's considered the son of a living person? El Ben Ishchai. What does it mean, Ben Ishchai? Shafil Ben Misasoi Karichai. Even when he leaves the world, he was called living. Rap Polim Mekapsil. The pasuk continues. Shariba Vekibetz. He increased and gathered pile of Torah achievements for Torah. He struck two commanders of Moav. There was nobody equal to him. Not in the first base of Mikdash and not in the second base of Mikdash. He went and slew the lion. He broke through pieces of ice which formed over the water to should be able to go to the Nochas Vatov, and he went to the mikveh in freezing weather, even though, as the Mepharshim say, it was before the Takan of Ezra that somebody should go to the mikveh if he has a emission of semen. Ikadam, the Tana Sefer, the Rav, he learned the entire Sefer, the Beirav, which is the most difficult brises, explaining Chumash v'Yikra, b'yom d'sis, on a winter day. Winter days are the short days, and still he was able to do it in one day. So now we continue talking about what people who are not in the world do know or don't know. Explains the Gemara, v'meisim eni yoidim u'ma. Dead people do not know anything. Eil Rishoyim, these are referring to the Rishoyim, Shebechayim, even when they're alive, Kriya Mason, they're considered dead. Shenema, Va'ata, Chol Rasha, and you, a corpse of witness, Nasi Yisrael, the Prince of Yisrael. Here we're talking about King Melchizedek-Giyo, who was considered a corpse, even though he was still alive at that time. So we see from here that a Rasha is considered dead even in his own lifetime. And the Mepharshim explained that even though Tzidkiyahu himself was really a righteous person, the Pasuk treats him like a Rasha since he had the power to protest the rishis that people in his time did and he didn't. That's why he's considered a Rasha. Continue to Gemara. B'nei Rav Chiya Nofel K'yosai. The children, the sons of Rav Chiya went out to the villages where they had property. They stayed so long they forgot their learning. Have a commissariat left Korean. They took great pain to try to remember what they had forgotten. So one said to his father, Yod Navum Bahaitzara, does our father, who's not in this world anymore, know of the pain that we're experiencing? Omle Idach. And they said, Amalei Ida Saralman said, "No Yada, how could he know?" For Ksiv, the pasuk says, "Yichab the Banach." After the person leaves the world, his sons may attain honor, v'lo Yada, and he won't know about it. Amalei Idach Saralman said to him, "V'lo Yada, does he not know?" For Ksiv, "Ach Besara Olav Yichav, his flesh will pain him, the Nafsho Olav Tavel, and the spirit will mourn for him." V'amar Rav Yitzchak, Rav Yosef, in explaining that pasuk says, "Kosherim lameis." A worm is painful to a dead person, kemachet ba'asachai, like a needle to a living flesh. So obviously, the dead do feel pain, and they do know what's going on. So how could you say he doesn't know? Amri, they answered, "But tzar to do something that affects their own body, they feel. But tzar dachrina, but something that affects somebody else, lo yadei, they don't know." Ask the Gemara Veloy, do they not know what's going on in this world? Vatanya. Mas b'chosed echad. There was a story one chosed. The Mashah says that whenever we say chosed echad in Shas, it's either Rav Yehuda ben Loi or Rav Yehuda ben Bava. Shenosin dinner l'oni ver Rosh Hashanah b'shnei b'tzuras. Who gave a dinner for tzedakah to a poor person on Erev Rosh Hashanah in a year of hunger. V'knisa ishta. And his wife was upset at him because he was very poor, and he apparently gave away his last dinner. For halafalam besekvaros, he went to sleep that night in the cemetery. And as we will learn, it was the night after the first day of Rosh Hashanah, the Gro explains. V'shamashtei ruchai shemisak zuzu. He heard two spirits speaking to each other. Two spirits of children. Amr chad l'chaverta. One said to the other, Chaverti bav enosh ba'olam. My friend, let's go roam in this world. Roam in the world. That means in the olam ha'emes. V'nishma mechari ha'pagid. And we'll hear behind the curtain. Behind the curtain refers to the shechina. Ma pronis ba'olam. What sorrows are going to come to the world this year? Amr chaverta. So chaverta d'olam said, any yichayil, I can't. Shani kavor b'machzel shekani. Because I was buried in reeds. And the way the Tzlach explains is like this. As long as the body isn't decomposed, the neshama cannot completely go up to Shemayim. And that's why he says we bury Niftarim in Tachrichim made out of linen. Because linen is a material that decomposes very quickly. This family cannot afford linen Tachrichim, so they made Tachrichim out of a woody material that didn't decompose. So she said, my body did not decompose, therefore I cannot go up to the Olam Hamas. So she said, Al-Chi'at, you go. Umashat Shemas, what you hear in the Olam Hamas, Amelie, you'll tell me. So she went, b'shot abon, she roamed and came back. Gom l'chavat, so our friend asked her, Chavat, ma shemat mechari pagad, what do you hear in the Olam Hamas? Amalei, shemat ish kol azureya b'revi rishoyna, whoever plants crops in the first rain, barred malchusai, will be destroyed by hail. So the explanation is as follows. In Eretz Yisrael, rain is generally limited to the winter time. As we learn in Masech the Tainus, rain generally is expected on the seventh day of Chesvan. That's called Revi'i Rishonah, the first rain. The second is on the 23rd of Chesvan, and the Revi'i Shlishis is on Rosh Chodesh Kislev, the first of Kislev. Now, plants that will have been planted by the time of the first rainfall will have grown pretty strong, pretty much, by the time the second rainfall time comes along, and if hail comes, it'll crack them, it'll destroy them. However, if the plants are planted later, so when the hail will come, they'll be soft, and since they'll be soft, the hail won't affect it. So that halachu, so this chassid did that. The Zohar Bervish, now he planted his field late. Shekolai and Kulai, who everybody else were planted earlier, Laka, their crops got damaged by the hail. Shalai Lai Laka, his didn't get affected. L'shana Cheres, the next year, halachu lam basic forest. Again he went to the basic forest because he saw it pays to go there, you could find out important things. And again, he saw those two, he heard those two spirits speaking to each other. One said to the other one, let's go roam in the Olam Hamas, and we'll hear behind the Kisa Kavod, what sorrows will come to the world. So she said to my friend, didn't I tell you, any yichayil I can, because I'm buried in a and reads, Al-Chiyat, you go, Amash, Shemash, Shemash, what you hear, boy, Emily, come and tell me. Hoch, Vashat, Ba, so she went, Vamela, Chavert, and a friend told her, Chaverti, Mash, Shemat, Mechar, Pag, what you hear? Amla, Shemat, Shkol, Zareb, Revi, Shnia, here I heard just that, this year is different. Whoever plants late in the second raining, Shadof, Malka, Isoi, rain blast, it'll be destroyed by dry wind. Here it's just the opposite. A crop that will be already partially grown could withstand. A later crop cannot withstand. So Holoch was Arbor. So he went and planted during the first time. And everybody else, based on the previous year's experience, planted this year late. So Kolayl and Kulanizdov. Everybody else's crops were destroyed. His wasn't affected by the wind. So now his wife was getting suspicious. Last year, everybody else's crops were destroyed by hail, and yours wasn't. And this year, everybody's crops were blasted by the wind, and your crops weren't. So he told her what happened. So they said, it was a few days later. There was a quarrel between the wife of that chassid and the mother of that child who had died and was buried in the wood. So she said, I'll show you my daughter. That's buried in wood. The next year. So again, the chassid went, hola filon basic forest, went to the basic forest. And he heard the ruchas speaking to each other. And they said, let's go to Eilam Emes. We'll hear from behind the throne, what kind of tzaras will come to the world. So she said, my friend, leave me. The things, the private things that we discussed, have become heard in this world. So obviously they know what's going on between the living people. So, because she had obviously known what her mother had said, and it says the Gemara, maybe somebody else had died in the meantime, and came and told them what was going on, but not that they knew. Toshma, another proof. The Ziri have a map with Zuzikab Ashkuf said, Ziri left some money with his landlady. At the Oslo of Oslo Bay Raf, while he was away at Yeshiva, Shiva, the landlady, died. He went to meet her at the courtyard of death, the cemetery. Amalah, Zuzi Heifer, where's my money? Amalah, she answered, Zila Shekinah Metusi, Bitsinur the Dash of the Dukplan, take it from under the door in that doorway in the house. Vemalah Iman, also tell my mother, Tishagli Masrikai, send me my comb, Vigusoy the Kikli, and my makeup. Bahadi Plinsi, with that person, that's coming tomorrow, it's dying tomorrow. Amayadi, obviously she knew that that person was sick and was going to die. And says the Gemara, Dilma Duma Kadma Makasla. The angel Duma, who's in charge of death, he maybe makes an announcement beforehand who's coming. Tashma, Davud Shema have a Mafkade Gabe Zuzadi Yasmi. Shmuel's father was a person that orphans left money by him. Kinach Nafshe, when Shmuel's father passed away, Shmuel wasn't by him. So he did not have a time to hear from his father what the situation with the money that he was holding was. Have a kakarle, so people would call Shmuel, Bar Och Zuzidi Yosmi, the son of somebody who consumed the orphan's money, who took the orphan's money incorrectly. Ozla Basrel Chatzmav, so he went to his father in the basic forest. Amalu, and he said, Bina Abba, I'm looking for Abba. His father's name was Abba. Amle, Abba Tuvei Kacha, there are a lot of people whose name Abba here. Amalu, Bina Abba Ba Abba. I want a person whose name is Abba, and his father's name was Abba. Shmuel's father's name was Abba, as was that the name of his grandfather. Amle, Abba Ba Abba Namituvei Kacha. There are many people who are Abba Ba Abba. Amalu, Bina Abba Ba Abba. I want someone whose name is Abba, whose father's name was Abba, and he's Avud Shmuel, he's the father of Shmuel. Heicha, where is he? Amle, Solok L'Misifta D'Rikia. He went to the yeshiva in Shamayim. Ad hachi v'chazi l'levi. Till then he saw Levi, the Yosef Abroi. He wasn't sitting together with all the other niftarim. Only my Yosef Abroi, why are you not sitting together with everybody else? My Tamalai Slak, why was your neshama not allowed to go up to the Olam HaEmes? Amalei the Amalei, the Malachim told me that I can't be admitted to the Yeshiva Shemana because Kol Kahanach Shnei for all the years till I'm Selika L'Masif to the Rav Afis, that I not go to Rav Afis to the Yeshiva. V'achlish de Ladak, and I made him feel bad because Rav Afis was upset that I did not come to the Yeshiva. They said to him, L'Amiyana Lach L'Masif to Rekiah, as punishment that many years we won't let you up into the Yeshiva in Shemayim. Adach v'ach asavur. Meanwhile, Shmuel's father arrived. Chazid av kabochi v'ach. We saw him laughing and crying at the same time. Amle, my time kabochis. Why are you crying? Amle, the la'agul kasis. You're going to be coming soon to join me. My time achich. So he asked him, why are you laughing? He said, the chshivas by ha'al matuva. Because you, Shmuel, are very highly regarded in the Olam Ha'emes. In this world. Taisus says, that Rashi says he meant this world. Taisus says he meant in the Olam Ha'emes. Amle, so Shmuel said to his father, Ichashvinu, im am so choshev, nelila Levi. I asked him that they should take Levi up to the Yeshiva Shemala. Velila Levi. So immediately Levi was admitted. Amle, zuzmi the yismi hecha. Where did you leave the money of the orphans? Amle, zil shakan nabam sidrachya. I left it by the mill. By the stones of the mill. I leave the toy, the money on the top of the pile, and the money in the bottom of the pile, the don is ours. Mitzi, the money in the middle of the pile, the yasmi belongs to the orphans. Amale, my tamav desachi, what was your reasoning to do it exactly this way? Amale, he answered, I ganvi, the ganvi medidon. If robbers will come, so the money they'll take will be the money on top of the pile. So I want our money to be taken. I och arv, if he'll get rotten from the moisture on the ground, ours should get affected, not the orphans. But obviously they know what's going on in this world, since they he knew that he would soon die. The Mishani Shmuel answers, Shmuel is different. Kivin the Choshev, since he was so Choshev, since he was so important, Kadim and Makras Panamakim, they made an announcement, they make room for him to come. That's Rav Yonason Hadabeber. Rav Yonason himself retracts what he said earlier, that how do we know that people who died speak to each other? Shenema, Hashem Elov. Hashem said to Moshe before he died, this is the land which I swore to give to Avram, to Yitzchak, and to Yaakov. My lema, what does it mean, saying? Hashem said to Moshe, Lech amolem l'Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov, go to Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov, shvua shenishbati lechem, the shvua that I made to you, the oath that I swore to you, to give Eretz Yisrael to your descendants, kiyamti levnechem. I have now fulfilled with your children, because now they began capturing Eretz Yisrael. But if you say that the dead do not know what's going on in this world, even if you tell them, what's the difference? What's the point of Moshe telling to them? They don't know. On the other hand, if you say that they do know, so what does he have to tell them? They anyway know. They do not need to be told. The only reason Hashem sent Moshe to tell them was that they should acknowledge appreciation to Moshe for all that he had done for their descendants. The Michtav Aliyah brings from Yonasan Apshitz, since we don't know clearly, do Niftarim know or not know what's going on in this world? So he says like this, if a person was a tzaddik in this world and he was devoted to helping other Jews, then even after his death, he continues to be involved with other Jews, because that was his whole life, to help his brethren. If, however, he was primarily involved with his own learning and not with other Jews, then when he dies, his neshama becomes separated from this world completely, and he does not know what's going on in this world.